You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9 here on a lovely Saturday afternoon. Thank you to the crew from the Escape Hour as always. And do we have a gigantic show for you? My name is Luke and I am joined by the regular crew, the wonderful Elliot.
I'm here.
The less wonderful Cam.
Ouch.
Yes, I'll
but
take
I'm also
it.
Here.
And Edie.
Just no descriptor for me.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's just me.
Plain old Edie. Here again.
That's the best descriptor I've heard from me yet.
She definitely fills a space within the world.
I do.
Yeah, that's better than most. So here on Checkpoint today, we have such a huge show because just a few days ago, we finished up experiencing the biggest video game conference in the world, E3. There were big announcements, big reveals, even talks of a brand new console. There was lots to unpack. So we're not stuffing around today. We are going to get stuck into that very, very shortly after a bit of news and what's coming out over the next week. But also, very importantly at the moment here on Joy, it is a big donation drive. So what you can do is right now, jump on the website. Every $10 donated receives an entry into the draw to win 2 business class return tickets to LA or a destination of your choice. And the runner-up wins a $2,000 RACV voucher. So you can just win by donating, and more importantly than winning a cool prize is you help keep us on air.
Yeah, and we need it. Like, donations help fund Joy and keep us on air and keep us, you know, giving a voice to an underrepresented community here with the LGBT plus community. So it's a really good thing to donate to, and we'd super appreciate it.
And just to put it in perspective, it costs around $20,000 per week just to keep Joy on air. You know, so just to listen to us every week, thank you. It costs $20,000. So we actually do really need and really appreciate your support. So head on the website, joy.org.au. There's a big banner right on the homepage you can click on and give a donation. Even just $10 gets you in the draw. But of course, any donation that you give is going to be incredibly appreciated by all of us here at Joy 94.9. So thank you so much in advance. Before we get cracking into our big E3 show, which we are going to do very, very shortly, we're going to go through what's coming out over the next week.
New games are released each week, and sometimes it's hard to keep them straight.
Let's go.
Checkpoint has you covered. Let's sneak a peek at what's coming up.
Yes, so we're jumping straight into the deep end on the week starting Monday, June 17th. Nothing on that day, but on the 18th of June, Chook and Sausage Walk the Plank is coming to PC. Join a ghostly chicken and a wobbly spaghetti cat as they seek fabled treasures, solve puzzles, and wear dashing hats. Chook and Sausage Walk the Plank is a charming point-and-click adventure about tabletop gaming, mischievous friends, and spectral poultry.
And then on the 19th, we've got Bloodstained Ritual of the Night coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Play as Miriam, an orphan scared by an alchemist's curse that slowly crystallizes her body. Battle through a demon-infested castle and defeat its master to save yourself and all of humanity.
So it was scarred, I assume.
Yeah, did
you write this?
Move on. Quick, right. Cam, move on.
On the 20th of June, Steel Division 2 is coming to PC, a historically accurate World War II real-time strategy game set on the Eastern Front. Features one-to-one scale turn-based army management and real-time tactical battles with thousands of men at your order.
On the 21st, we got 1980X coming to PC, PS4, and then Xbox One and Switch at a soon-to-be-release date. 1980X is an arcade epic, a coming-of-age story told through multiple games and genres, worlds, and characters. Experience the thrill of shooting, driving, jumping, fighting, and role-playing, combined with emotional cinematic storytelling. Welcome to the world of 1980X, where a new life is just one credit away.
On the same day, my friend Pedro, and that's not Pedro that works here, but it's actually the name of the game, is coming to PC and Switch. My Friend Pedro is a violent ballet about friendship, imagination, and one man's struggle to obliterate anyone in his path at the behest of a sentient banana. Sure. Create one sensational action sequence after another in an explosive battle through the violent underworld.
On the same day, on the 21st, we got Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Crash is back in the driver's seat. Get ready for a fur throttle with Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. It's the authentic CTR experience plus a whole lot more. now fully remastered and revved up to the max.
And lastly, on the same day, Judgment is coming to PS4. From the team that brought you the critically acclaimed Yakuza series comes Judgment, a gritty tale of a disgraced attorney. Haunted by his past, he takes up arms as a private detective, clawing his way through an underground crime network to investigate a string of grisly murders.
Yes, and that's what's coming out over the next week. Some big ones in the mix there, actually.
It's not a bad little week, is it? And I think we didn't do coming out for the last 2 weeks because nobody wants to release around E3. But now that that's over, everyone's coming out.
It's a floodgate.
Yeah.
It is. So I first want to talk about Chook and Sausage because this is one we actually had a really great show back in February talking about the idea of cozy gaming and the the fact that games don't always have to be violent or linked with like an achievement or completing something or competitive, and because so many games are. Chook and Sausage was one of the ones that we talked about, and it's now actually coming out in a couple of days, which is really, really cool, and we're going to have a full review of that one on the website in the coming week.
Also, it contains ghostly chickens, wobbly spaghetti cats, and spectral poultry, so it's kind of hard to go wrong.
Now, both of you have pronounced sausage both the ways now,
The actual creator, she is the creator, told us it doesn't matter how you pronounce it.
Correct.
Oh, that's the correct answer. I very much like that.
So I'm always going to say sausage because of how it's written.
Yeah, and I tried to say that, but I change sometimes and say sausage.
I'm probably going to say sausage because
I'm going to say sausage.
Sausage.
Now, I've not seen this game at all, so I'm also confused by the phrase wobbly spaghetti cat. What exactly does that entail?
Think Adventure Time, but a cat. You know, like that real wobbly arms kind of animation style.
I mean, what about that don't you get?
Yeah, what confuses you?
Can you just hurry up and get on board?
Okay, all right. I'm sorry.
Another one coming out the 19th, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. This was originally a Kickstarter game. I think the Kickstarter was like 5 or 6 years ago, I feel like. It's been a long time in the making.
I can't believe it's finally going to be out.
Like, I almost don't believe it.
It's like the end of an era.
I found it interesting. There was actually the most recent trailer that went up from them, which will be in our coming out article tomorrow when it goes up, points to the fact that the art style basically got completely revamped last year when it originally released its beta, and everyone's like, looks all right, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, take this, and he's completely redone his art style for it. It looks beautiful.
It's one of those things. This is from some of the original guys who worked on Castlevania.
Yes.
So, I mean, this comes from, people in this genre of the whole Metroidvania, Castlevania stuff that started it in the first place, but they've done this new modern interpretation. So it's going to be that side-scrolling, intense kind of style, but with, like, really cool art style and really colourful as well.
It's definitely got a lot of people excited, and I think it's because of the name drop. Like, I worked on Castlevania.
Yeah,
but we've been burned by that kind of
it's true.
Before.
I'm sure you're not talking about Mighty No. 9.
No.
It was a huge critical success.
Or ukulele as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely. Oh, no, yeah. Please don't compare.
I worked on Banjo-Kazooie. Well, poo.
Like, ukulele was not as bad as Mighty No. 9. Come on.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, on a scale of disappointment, they're both on there, aren't they?
Yeah, like, they both come under the same category of, like, kickstarted games that raised a lot of money on the back of the fact that a lot of the developers had worked on previous famous...
Yeah, it's the concept and the nostalgia.
Yeah.
On the next day, still Division 2.
Not to be confused with the Division 2.
No.
God forbid.
This is actually just the Division 2, but they've just encased them all in a box of steel. It's a really weird concept.
It's the Steelbook edition.
Yeah.
Okay,
no.
Right.
This is basically a World War II real-time strategy. It looks very intense. The trailers that I've seen are very in-depth. It takes you through a lot of... management. I think that's a big thing.
This is for those historical accuracy buffs, the people who really love a hardcore kind of real-time strategy game to throw themselves into. There's probably not anybody in this room.
No. Who would like this? Lisa would like this.
Oh, yes. Lisa would be all over this. Lisa, if you're listening, message in, tell us you were excited.
Yeah, they're going to be all over it, trust me. 1980X... Elliot?
So 1980X
This one is completely I have not heard of.
No, it's super fascinating. I checked that game play trailers and stuff, and I just had to include it, even though it's not the biggest name in this list, because it is a throwback to the 90s games, which is why I believe it's pronounced... 80s games, which is why I believe it's pronounced 1980X, as in, like, it could be anything within that decade. And it's a complete mix-up of genres, so they'll have, like... racing games that are based on racing games from the 1980s. They'll have RPGs based on RPGs from the 1980s. They'll have just everything. Everything is thrown into this big old melting pot that is this game. And it all looks really good. Like, some people play on that nostalgia and they'll pick one angle and they'll take it, but these developers are going big and they're taking it from every angle, and it looks really fun. It looks really fresh, and it's all tied together with an overarching narrative. I believe it's about a kid and their memories from the arcade back in the 1980s, I believe.
I mean, it sounds like a really cool idea, and we're just talking about nostalgia and tapping into that. If it's able to do that on some level, then of course it's going to be a really big success. We've seen plenty of things, you know, do quite well, yep, tapping into that style, that 80s style, including things like Stranger Things, for example.
Yep.
A lot of games, we'll talk about E3, also tap into that old school nostalgia. So, mm-hmm, yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
The next one up, my friend Pedro. Elliot, you've actually been playing this one. It's very manic. Can you talk
about
it?
Yeah. I'll talk about what it is, but I can't really give an opinion. I have finished the game. It's under embargo. So if you're really interested, wait for the review on the website. I think the 20th it removes its embargo. Yeah. So, but I'll just explain what it is. Basically, it's a really stylized side-scrolling shooter. So you play as a dude. I don't know if he has a name. Pedro is your little friend who was a sentient banana who kind of gives you tips and makes you follow a path and kind of directs your motivations and whatnot. And you go through and you do crazy backflips while you akimbo your weapons and shoot two different people at once while you're going in slow motion and riding skateboards.
Nice
and stuff.
Use of akimbo.
Thank you. And yeah, it's this kind of really crazy stylistic shooter. And if you haven't checked out a trailer, look into it. It's really cool.
Trailer alone will get you hooked on that one.
Yep.
Now, a couple other big games on that day. Crash Team Racing, Nitro Fueled. I know a lot of people have a lot of love for Crash Team Racing. I'm not one of them.
It's one of the games that could have not toppled Mario Kart, but it at least made Mario Kart work a bit for its money.
It was the only true competitor to Mario Kart.
It's the only one that I would ever consider a competitor to Mario Kart.
Take that, Sonic.
Take that, Diddy Kong Racing. I'm looking at that Triceratops.
I was going to mention Diddy Kong Racing because a whole bunch of people I know.
From what I understand with this game, they have actually stayed very true to the original mechanics as well. So things will still feel like the original game, just with a bit of minor tweaking, which was a very polished game. I loved the Crash Team Racing game.
And this is a remake from Activision, who previously did the Spyro trilogy as well as the Crash trilogy. Well, they handed it to their development team. And so this is kind of part of their nostalgic revisiting of these awesome older franchises.
And boy, does it look good.
Oh, really?
It looks so pretty. Like, they've done really well on the graphics. The last one being Judgment. This is from the Yakuza team. There was a bit of controversy about this game earlier in the year. We're not going to go into it here because we don't really have the time to unpack all of that. But
it's from the guys who made the Yakuza franchise, and it's going to tap into that sort of overly sort of crazy Japanese kind of gang warfare, fighting melee in the streets, kind of using weapons and the environment, things like that.
I feel like it's a way to get into what the Yakuza game stands for without having to fully understand the absolutely bonkers Yakuza background.
Which I'm really excited about because I feel like Yakuza has been really inaccessible to me for a long time, even though it looks fun. And so this to me is like, ooh, I can jump in on the ground floor and actually give it a go. So I'm pretty keen on that one, Judgment. The last one coming out on 21st of June. We're going to get jumping straight into the news shortly here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
With the games industry changing so often, it can be hard to keep up.
So it's time to get updated with your weekly news checkpoint.
Yes, time to get stuck into the news. And now it's a bit of a weird week because E3 happened this week.
There was a lot of news, but we're not going to talk about all of it in this tiny little section.
No, so E3 is going to be a whole separate category we're going to jump into shortly.
We're doing a show and a half of E3.
Yeah, so this is the news update for the things that kind of happened on the outskirts of E3 and that weren't actually a direct impact on the conference itself. So there's only a couple of stories, but they are really important stories to talk about. So the first one is, it's tricky because a lot of people are very excited for this game coming out May next year, Cyberpunk 2077.
I think it might be April.
Well, it's around then.
We'll find out.
We'll find out later in the show.
We'll get blasted if we're wrong.
Head to checkpointgaming.net and check the release date. But it's a very highly anticipated game from a talented development team at CD Projekt Red, who previously worked on the Witcher franchise, and The Witcher 3 is considered quite, by many, is a really strong RPG, one of the best in recent memory.
They've become a developer that feels untouchable from a fandom point of view. You feel like you say something and everyone is going to jump at their defense, regardless of knowing very little about this company, to be honest.
Yeah, and so I'm going to give a bit of a slight trigger warning in regards to the trans community. And just a note that none of us here in the room identify as trans. However, the article on our website, checkpointgaming.net, was written by the very talented Hayley, who does identify as transgender. Mm-hmm. So if you want to read that in detail, please do. And we'll be quoting her.
Yeah, we'll try to imbue some of her thoughts.
Yeah, exactly right. So in the game, an ad was discovered in the world of Cyberpunk 2077 that depicted a transgender model along with the words, "mix it up." The model seems to identify as female, but is wearing a very tight leotard with a very defined large erection. CD Projekt Red have a history of strife with the transgender community after misguided tweets over the last year, poking fun at the use of pronouns, and this felt like a particularly out of place, almost like picking fun at.
Yeah.
The trans community, as opposed to kind of celebrating them in the way that we would hope.
Correct. So there's been a lot of talk after the tweets came out, where they then released gameplay footage, which featured very heavily on the gender binary for character creation, all this stuff. And people were like, well, it's Cyberpunk 2077. You know, it's supposed to be our future. It's supposed to be where we're going. You know, what are we doing here? And, you know, CD Projekt Red were a little defensive about that, but not aggressive at all. But they have this history of people making statements on their behalf that probably shouldn't be and are offensive. And it's not just here. It's also with their subsidiary company, GOG, that actually owns CD Projekt Red. They as well have had some missteps with the transgender community. So this kind of popping up in the background, it was just in the background of a screen and someone just spotted it. Someone put up this big high-definition screen showing off how lighting would work in the game. And it was this big billboard and someone went, wait a second. And they zoomed in and were like, what is going on here?
Mm. It's a picture of a hyper-sexualized transgender woman.
Yep.
And it brought up a whole bunch of conversations about fetishization and a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, the trans community is probably used to at this point. Like, they're sick of it.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting to read Hayley's take on it. And I've read a lot of defense of the game as well.
So
I would also tend... my first response upon hearing this was to take a bit of a defensive stance on the developer's behalf, because cyberpunks are always supposed to be a critique on the way society is going. So the fact that they put it in here did not seem to me... It seemed to me to be a criticism, and this is something that the developers went on to say was their intention. However, I did note and agree with a lot of members of the trans community that said the studio's previous controversies muddy this message and makes...
It feels like they're the wrong people to be sending this message.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So basically, Polygon went into an interview with Kasia Reduciak. I hope that's pronounced
let's go with
right.
It.
who is the art director responsible for in-game media and mega corporation branding.
Was it Kotaku or Polygon?
It was Polygon.
Okay.
It's written wrong here, but I remember it correctly. Yeah. It was Polygon.
Yeah.
And so in the interview, they basically walked in and outrightly asked, what's going on with this? We want, like, people want to know. And so I'm just going to give a quick quote from her. Personally, for me, this person is sexy. However, their beautiful body is used for corporate reasons. They are displayed there just as a thing, and that's the terrible part of it. She went on to say, it was a conscious choice on our end to show that in this world, a world where you are a cyberpunk, a person fighting against corporations, that advertisement is what you're fighting against.
So, I mean, you hear that and you go, okay, I see the sentiment and what you were trying to do and what your specific fragment of this team was trying to do. And even in Hayley's article on checkpointgaming.net, you know, she mentioned, oh, you know, it does sound like a cool narrative if you were to create a transgender character and then fight this corporation that's basically using the trans community as this mm-hmm. kind of, you know, sick physical corporate entity. That's a great idea. However, you know, you have to look at the past with this company and you have to look at how this game's going to be received by the masses as well.
Yes.
Because the majority of people that are going to play this game are probably going to be cisgender white males.
Yes.
And they're not going to look at that poster and go, oh, this is really inclusive and interesting. I'm going to fight that. They're going to go, ha ha, it's a chick with a dick.
Yeah.
And that's just, unfortunately, the world that we're in. And they need to be aware of that when they're making these decisions and putting these things in their video games.
It's also that idea of how much can we take this on the, you know, face value. Did they have enough warning to come up with a narrative of, well, this is what we want it to be appeared as ahead of these kind of interviews? Were they prepared for this question? Is this a genuine response or is this spin to cover up for maybe someone in the game putting it in that it shouldn't be there? We can't know.
The words of the developer herself was a little bit worrying as well. As she puts it, you know, personally for me, this person is sexy. It sounds pretty much a bit fetishy the way she's putting it. And perhaps that was just poor phrasing on her part. Perhaps she doesn't mean this. But this is kind of the point, is that we have no idea.
I think as well, in the full interview, she dials into that even more aggressively, where she keeps going on about how sexy this person is.
She keeps on saying, I find male and female bodies sexy.
It's like she's trying to justify why it's okay. Oh, but they're sexy, so it's fine. Like, as if they weren't sexy, it wouldn't be fine. It's strange.
All my transgender friends, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
And the thing is, it's difficult for me to believe that a person who has taken a lot of time talking with people from the community, make sure they're being as sensitive as possible. It's very hard for me to believe that such a person would speak like this.
Yes.
So it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence that they actually have done their due diligence in...
It's, once again, one of the problems that Hayley mentions in her article is that she speaks about the trans... a community being objectified, and the way she's speaking about it in her interview seems very much like objectification of a beautiful trans body rather than, you know, seeing a beautiful trans person.
Yeah.
If that makes sense?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's talk from one of the Quest of directors, Matsus, and you pronounced this really well before, Luke, can you?
Tomaskiewicz.
He has said that they'll most likely be offering options for the transgender experience in the game now. And there's a quick quote from him as well. We want to do this thing where as you create your character, after you choose the body type, you can, for example, use physical traits as you build your face that you could be assigned to a man or a woman. The idea is to mix all of those up, to give them to the players as they would like to build it. Same goes for the voice. We wanted to separate this out so that players can choose it freely. So it's that idea of once you've chosen maybe a body frame, you'll be able to edit the body much more. If that's true, if that's going to happen, if it's handled well, fantastic.
I mean, ultimately, the developers have said, just wait until you play the game.
Yes.
And I mean, we are basing a lot of this this conversation and these thoughts and theories on, you know, an interview with one of the developers, the art directors, and this poster that was in the game. We don't know how deep this runs and how it's going to be handled. Mm-hmm. It might be terrible. Maybe they can turn it around and make it something that's really palatable and makes sense as well.
Yep.
So it is a wait and see sort of situation.
Yeah, I definitely would caution against judging a singled out message without also having the rest of... the rest of what it's going to be to look at.
Yep.
And I also want to say, and this is might just be my opinion, but I think it's a mistake to expect perfection from things like this. There are always going to be mistakes in very squirrely topics like this. And I think it is really good that a mainline development company like studio is making a game that's covering topics like this. So I think it would be good to have just a touch of compassion for when they do make mistakes. However, this has put me on edge. You know, this isn't very inspiring. I just wanted to kind of say...
It's concerning.
Yeah, it's concerning, but I also...
We're also only using bits of the information.
Yeah. It's also just completely selfishly, it looks like an amazing experience they've put together so far in terms of the gameplay, in terms of the story, in terms of everything about the quality that we know this development studio can do. And I do feel like it's soured already for me now, you know?
Yeah.
And that sucks because it could have been potentially this fantastic game, but now everyone's going to be going into it with this preconceived notion of how they've handled these particular scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's going to muddy, you know, the overall experience.
You've been listening to a Joycast of Checkpoint on Joy 94.9. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.